Coming up on TMS, why was that subway guy so nice to me?
Keep an eye on your Honda.
Snake handler's son also got bit.
Hulu is all about the community.
LeVar Burton wants to read your rainbow.
Brad Pitt can now talk about Fight Club.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Here come the new demons. Shooting Iron, Transylvanian Express, Black Knight.
Here come the screaming demons, tearing up the road.
Shooting Iron, a gleaming demon, Transylvanian Express, the Bat, Black Knight, shining.
Screaming demons, tearing up the road.
Move with the screaming demons. Shooting Iron, Transylvanian Express, Black Knight, sold separately.
No sloppy holes.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream.
Morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. I'm Scott. That's Brian.
It is. I am.
Amazon, your package with the GE MWF refrigerator water filler has been shipped.
Yay!
I don't know what my wife buys.
Our long national nightmare is over.
Finally. Can we all please put it to rest? Here we are. It's a Thursday episode. It's May 29th, 2014. Brian's on the eve of, well, not the eve, but he's on the cusp of leaving.
That's right.
To Vegas. And,
yeah, it's tonight.
Yeah, it'll be great. You're looking forward to that, I assume.
I am. There is a lot. You know, it's like you see that light at the end of the tunnel, but there's a lot of tunnel between.
Yeah.
a lot of projects that need to get wrapped up before I go on the trip.
I can hear it. I can actually hear in your voice the brain patterns. I can almost hear how many things you have to deal with before you leave.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's funny. It's like whenever if you do freelance and you go through waves of it, it just seems like, you know, sometimes it just piles on in all at the same time. When it rains, it pours kind of thing.
Yep.
And things were at a very nice, manageable level about a week ago.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, could you get this project done? We really want to launch it June 1st.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it'll have to launch May 29th because I'm going to be out, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that stuff going on.
Well, it's good for you. It builds character. It establishes, I don't know. If it sucks. It sucks is what I'm trying to say. It sucks. It's a pain in the butt. Been there, done that, doing that, actually. I got a bunch of that crap going on in my own life. I don't have to leave town, so I'm, you know, like if I had to go to
you
Vegas.
You can handle it.
Oh, yeah. If I had to go to Vegas, I would be like so stressed out today. It would kill me.
On the flip side of things, I've been working really hard for the last, you know, couple weeks on all these projects, and now I feel like I've earned this vacation.
Yeah, when you were laying in that lazy river and you're getting everyone's micro
bacteria
disease. When that stuff's crawling up your butt, you can relax in the knowledge and know that you've earned it.
Well, I was going to be able to.
Anyway, so TMS PM will occur sometime between now and Saturday, where Brian will call in from Vegas and we'll do the show for that edition. So don't worry, that's still happening. Don't worry your little selves. A couple things here.
And we'll give you plenty of warnings so that you can tune in.
Yeah. So here's the deal. I was at a Subway yesterday, which I don't go there a lot, but when I do, I get the flatbread. I get the turkey thing with mostly just tons of veggies and stuff. I really like that. And it's always just mustard in there. I like it, right? Spinach and everything.
Yeah.
Go all the way.
Yeah.
Load that thing up. So
no mayo.
No. No mayo for me. So I go in there yesterday. And dude, what made it for me has a really rad mohawk. Okay? Super cool mohawk. Cool. Guy looked like he could kill me. Big, strong guy, super tan, just looked like he could kill you. He was just tatted up, just a, you know, cool looking dude, but it's kind of scary. Kind of scared me a little bit. I went in there and went all kind of squirrely white man, and
it was like,
nervous.
Look, he's from an 80s movie theme gang.
Totally theme gang. Yep. Yeah, it totally was. All he was missing was like a weird jacket with spikes on it and stuff.
Did he go, come out and pick your sandwich.
What vegetables would you like on your bread?
So he's got that going on, and I was just a little bit nervous, and he's like, what do you want? I'm like, oh, geez, well, this is scary. So I was so nice, and I'm being totally like, I don't know what the word is. What do you call it when you're just... whatever. I'm being pasty, milk toast, white guy, just nervous is what I was doing.
Right.
But I really wanted the sandwich to work out. And you know, the nice thing about Subway is you get to watch them make it, you know?
Right. You know, there's no squirrely stuff going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. As far as you know, I mean, they could have done things beforehand, but
exactly.
So
tainted the meat before.
So I get to the end of it and he's about to ring me up and I'm doing a foot long and a drink and chippies there. I got the baked Lays because I'm going, again, you know, trying to go smart here.
Yeah.
And lemonade instead of pop. So I got all that there. I couldn't have looked more like a freaking old white guy. Just my lemonade. Let me get my lemonade.
What's the cholesterol? Do you know what the cholesterol count in the Italian BMT would be?
Yeah, it's so lame. So he's getting it done. And I said, he goes, I can do it for you. I said, yeah. And he goes, it's on me. I go, what? He goes, it's free today. And I said, it's free today? What are we doing? Like, he goes, I'm kind of taken aback. And he goes, yeah, it's totally, it's all cool, man. Go for it. You're good.
You know who this guy is.
Who?
He's the guy who robbed the Subway and then just started working there for 2 hours.
That's the guy. I didn't think about that, but maybe that's the guy. The guy, because you always think that that's the guy delivering bread in that story we had the other day. And
right. The two guys who robbed the gas station and started pumping gas for a couple hours.
Yeah, for people taking their money and stuff. But you'd think he would take my money if he was robbing.
That's true. I guess if he's a robber, he's a robber with no end game.
Yeah. Like exactly. So what a nice guy. Just
totally.
For no reason. I don't know why. Maybe he sensed my intimidation levels were high or something.
Maybe he's a listener of the show and he didn't want to, you know, make you feel awkward by drawing attention to you.
Oh, that's why on the receipt where it had $0, he wrote the word fart gas. Now it
yeah,
all makes
that's
sense.
Probably it, yeah. Explosive tip.
So anyway, I'm going to go there again just to kind of test it out and just see what's what and see if that guy's there again. And now I'm real curious about it, but I was like, well, thanks. I don't know what I did to deserve this. He goes, it's all good. It's all good. He was just kind of like shuffling me out of there. So maybe there was like a Subway employee tied up in the back going,
right.
Ah,
right. Duct tape over his mouth.
Yeah. He's like, get out of here. Everything's fine. Go ahead. Like, now that you mentioned that, I mean, that couldn't have been, but it still makes me wonder now.
Yeah.
He was the only guy working the counter.
I'd say it's more likely that it's, oh, really? Yeah. Usually there's two of them. Usually there's the meat and bread dude, and then there's the vegetables and condiments dude.
Yes. Never
or the register dude.
Yeah, never the twain chummy. Yeah, usually if you get three, you know, it's real busy.
Yeah.
But he was on his own. It's like 12:30, so it was like kind of lunchtime. There was plenty of people ahead of me. He was ripping through it, no problem, but go ahead. But I swear he cheesed. he charged the people ahead of me. They paid.
Oh, really?
I saw cash come out of their wallets.
Okay.
So I don't know what was special about me. It was weird. Freaked me out.
It was weird.
Anyway.
Huh. Were you extra nice to him maybe? Like, you know, did you say, hey, how's your day going?
I didn't do that, but I was really like, I'm not hard at those places ever. I'm the easiest guy.
How much Aquanet does that thing take?
Exactly. I mean, he could have greased something up or gave him the wrong thing or something. I still would have been nice because that's how I roll at restaurants. I cannot be that guy. I never have been that guy that's like, excuse me, but this has a hair in it. I never am that guy. Even if there's a hair in it, I'm not that guy. To my detriment, Brian, I've probably eaten hairs because I was too nice.
Too nice to say, could you take this back? It smells like feet.
I think it's because I worked at Chi-Chi's and I watched what they did to people's food when they sent it back.
Oh,
now Chi-Chi's isn't around anymore, but when I witnessed
things. Yeah, exactly. That does change a person.
Oh, it was like it was like a Band of Brothers episode, dude. I'm deep in the bulge trying to survive, and I saw some stuff, man. I saw some stuff on the battlefield. And I feel like that's every time I'm in a place like that, I just want to absolutely be the nicest guy possible, tip well, make that waitress go, man, that wasn't so bad at that table. Like, I want all that to go well to the extreme. So that says something about me, and I don't know what. Maybe Wendy could, well, she does it too, whatever. I think we both, I think we both get it because our mom was the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter where we were going. Drive up, restaurant, Denny's, doesn't matter. We'd all brace for it. Where she'd go, now are these eggs? How are these eggs? They're this way. Oh, well, I don't know about that. I mean, my mom would totally talk like that. And we would just sit there and go, oh my gosh, mom, just freaking order the food. Can I get the burger, but can we swap in the chicken for the hamburger?
Could you put the lettuce on the side, please?
Yeah, and if they don't, I distinctly asked for lettuce to be on the side. And we would just go, mom, I'll eat your freaking, take it off and I'll eat it. It's fine. So I think that's what did it to us. Anyway, there's that. I got a quick take on this whole Apple Beats acquisition I want to mention real quick. It occurred to me yesterday, there's these photos of Tim Cook hanging out with Dr. Dre, right? And they're smiling. Oh, ha, ha, $3.2 billion, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
And it's not just him. It's his partner. I think he owns 25% of all of Beats, but whatever. That's a lot of moolah. And it occurred to me, does this negate any old rap, sweet fat licks or rap lyrics of his past rap songs where he is sort of sold out to the man? Is that
no, it? I don't think so. Okay. I think it actually even does the inverse, is that basically it's like, you know, he's making it rain. Apple just made it rain on Dre.
So he hustled the man is what he did in a way. Yes. These $12 headphones that cost $12 and charge $200 for, they've done something there. But here's what it occurs to me this way. I started thinking about the rap world in general, and it's so hardcore and street, especially in the 90s. So freaking gangster and so step off, son, or I'll fill you full of lead or whatever. I think I've mixed my Westerns with my rap.
His mind on his money, his money on his mind.
Right. But, you know, skeezers and the whatnot, right? So so it hits me that Dre, let me put it this way. So Ice Cube used to have his biggest song when with NWA was F the Cops or whatever it was called. Mm-hmm. And now he does family movies. All right?
Right.
Ice-T had an album called Cop Killer.
Right.
Or Cop Killa, was it? I don't know.
Who knows?
If it had an R or not. But now he plays a cop on television. On TV, primetime television, he is a cop solving crimes. Then Dr. Dre has literally sold out to the whitest man in California.
To the company that makes the whitest products.
The whitest products. And it just
literally
it washed over me like this crazy feeling of that whole scary rap stuff was BS. Like, it wasn't really anything. It wasn't, like, serious. Like, if Tupac was here, what would he be doing now? I mean, in a weird way, the guys that die early, like him and Biggie, they die in the thick of that gangster thug business. Mm-hmm. And then it's in stone. Now he's a legend, right?
So, yeah.
But you live past that, and you're selling your headphones to Apple.
So if Tupac would have survived, would he be doing commercials for Denny's right now?
Yeah, or something. Maybe he'd have some, you know, maybe, I don't know.
I'll try the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity. I'm Tupac Shakur.
We're open all night in California. Yeah, like all that kind of stuff. It just blows my mind that is where those three hard edge, hardcore rappers, man. That's what those guys were. Those three dudes, they represent so much about that era.
Right.
Look at them now. And I'm not saying it's bad. I just think it's really interesting.
No, it's great. I mean, it's great to see the evolution and the where you go after this kind of thing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Vanilla Ice, well, you know,
not so much. What is he doing?
Home redecorating for. Actually, he's doing really well with that.
Is he?
That home flipping program. Yeah, I watched an episode of it at my in-law's house. Because they were watching
it. He's on it, right? Like, he's a host or something?
Oh, he's on there. He's doing stuff. He's hammering stuff, and he's, you know.
All right.
He's ripping boards off walls and sledgehammering and all sorts of stuff. So
weird. What a weird.
It's a weird life.
That's a weird destination for a guy that was trying to be Mr. Rap Man.
But on the subject of the actual Beats headphones. Now, Andrew Allen, when he came to, when we actually got together to do the first video for Smooth Federation.
Yeah.
He brought out his Beats headphones and I listened to them and they sounded all right. You know, they sound great. They weren't the,
I mean, they're not like, you know, the greatest things ever. I just think that what they charge for those things, like that marketing team is the real grab
yes.
here.
Yes. Right.
Know? So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's interesting. That whole thing, I find it fascinating that Apple even cares about this, but whatever. They say it's all about the music and we're about to break into the next level of music here at Apple. Tim Cook says. Right. So let's move on to you and your Deep Space Nine diet.
Yes.
You've consumed
binge
them all.
Watch complete 173 episodes of Deep Space Nine.
Wow.
And talk about a great finish, though. Like for a seventh season that I was really worried about with the Vegas gangster holodeck episode, the baseball holodeck episode,
yeah.
Way more Ferengi Grand Nagus.
More Nagus than you want. Yeah.
More Negus than I want. And I think there was a single episode of a Worf-centric episode where I think if I would have counted, I started counting halfway through, but Worf said, without honor, about 17 times in the second half of that episode.
Well, that's what you want from your Worf.
Geron is without honor.
Yeah. And his,
you are without honor.
They talk about his house, like his house of Moog or any of that. Great.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's
the pickles off my sandwich. You are without honor.
Star Trek does have this problem with seventh seasons where they kind of are real wonky, right? There's issues, but they finish strong. They tend to anyway.
And it's like the last part of the season is like an 8-part continuing story kind of thing.
Yeah,
like
that's huge.
Which I think ended really, really well. And, as much as I liked the Jadzia Dax,
mm-hmm.
and she was hot.
Yeah, she was hot.
The Ezri Dax, not so bad.
Yeah, she's okay. I think it helps to binge through that than it did to see it when it happened. Because when it happened, it felt like, oh no, Koi and Vance have taken over for Bo and Luke. You know, that had that feeling of, oh no, you can't just replace somebody like that, regardless of your weird sci-fi lore. So
I had Roseanne daughter. What?
Did they do that? Parents. Did they do that on Roseanne? Did they have a new daughter?
They did. They swapped out, I can't remember, the blonde daughter for Sarah Chalk from Scrubs for a season.
I didn't know that.
The funniest thing, I think on one of the first episodes where they had her on there was a stinger at the end of the episode where the whole family is watching Bewitched. Mm-hmm. And Sarah Chalk's character says, wait a minute, that wasn't the guy who was on the last episode. Did they switch Darrens?
That's hilarious, dude.
It's a really clever nudge.
That's actually pretty good.
So here's what's next.
Okay. Voyager.
No. I do need to watch Voyager. That's the same kind of situation with the Deep Space Nine, where we started watching it and I just gave up about halfway through the first season.
Right.
But all right, Justified, finishing up the season, Justified, and then I move on to Arrow.
No way, Arrow.
Yes. Starting with season one, right?
Arrow's good.
Courtesy of a listener who sent me the whole complete first season on Blu-ray DVD Ultraviolet.
Oh, you'll like that then.
I can't wait, man.
Except for the Ultraviolet part, because who cares?
He's all shirtless.
Yeah, look at him. He's a hot man. He gives me a little bit of the old arousal when I look at him. No, he's great, and that show's great. I think you'll like it. And like I said early on, it's a little lovey-dovey and little CW for me, but it starts to evolve into what it is now, which is actually a pretty rad take on Green Arrow. They never actually call him the Green Arrow, by the way.
No, right. Yeah, of course.
I don't even know if anyone calls him Arrow, but I don't know really if they have. I guess he doesn't really have a name. But I have a thing. I kind of have a crush on his sister.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I like her. Whoever that is, I like her. She's good.
What name does she go by?
She goes by. I don't even know. She doesn't, and she has no powers. She has no nothing. Okay.
Gotcha.
And everyone's hot, including like the 50-year-old cop who's after him. Like it's mm-hmm. it's ridiculous. But that stuff aside, it's fun. You'll like it.
Cool. All right.
You'll report back.
I will report back. Yes.
All right. We're going to add people to this call, specifically one Daryl Skeels, and we're going to finish this week of Stump a Trek Nerds, whether he likes it or not. So here's his theme, and off we go. This is Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by
Donkey Poo. Ask for it by name.
All right. Can I have some Donkey Poo?
Don Pardo in there for that one.
I liked it. It was good. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. Don't change. What am I trying to say? Don't go changing. Daryl, are you there?
Me and my arrow.
Me and my arrow.
What's that from? It's a song.
It is a song.
Pace Arrow. It's a car. Car commercial.
Was that what was
did
originally?
They use that song for that?
Yeah.
No, Harry Nilsson did the song originally.
Isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's see.
There was somebody I played on the show on either this or Coverville recently, a cover of that song. But
me and, whoops, and my arrow. We're going to say commercial. Here we go. Car commercial. So we're gonna play that. Okay. There you go. 75 Plymouth Arrow. All right. I can't tell how this is gonna go. Oh, they're on snowmobiles. Oh, there's the arrow. Okay.
Yeah, so, but that's not the song.
Yeah, this isn't it at all, is it?
Plymouth Arrow, low priced and economical, and also small, fun, and functional.
Did they just get a drunk dude who was like
functional? And,
what? Start over.
You, I love you. I love this car.
I say sabotage. Daryl, let's do it. Let's do Stump a Trek Nerd. It's time for that. And I feel like you haven't seen all of Deep Space Nine. Is that true? You're not even all the way caught up on that.
No, I'm not. Some really crappy episodes in the beginning kind of knocked me out of it.
I think in the
old days.
Daryl or Ibbot is Trek shaming you here then by having seen all of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Being Trek.
Well, I am working my way through slowly.
Okay.
Well, and I'm really liking season 1 and 2. And in fact, if I had to stop here, I'd say Deep Space Nine is better than Voyager.
Yeah, I know. I think I agree. There's quite a bit I like about Voyager, but I think that DS9 had some great moments. I've seen that entire series, but not the way Brian did, where he ate the whole thing in one meal.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it. But I'll say the one thing about it, it really does showcase the good episodes and really draws attention to the bad ones.
When you do it that way, yeah.
Yeah, there's a great episode, I can't remember what it's called, maybe The Pale Moonlight, where Sisko gives his captain's log throughout the whole episode and describing how he tried to pull one over on the Romulans to get them to join the war.
Oh, that's cool. I remember that one. That's a good one.
And it's a really good episode.
Nice. Get those damn Romulans.
Is that the transporter one where he meets his old self or something?
No, but that's another good episode, like where you see old Jake Sisko.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that one's great. That's Candyman in that, isn't it?
Actor who played Candyman. Yeah.
Yeah. Every time he came on, I just want to go, Jake Sisko, Jake Sisko, Jake Sisko, 3 times in a row and see if bees came out of his mouth. All right. Well, it's on to Star Trek trivia for Daryl, and he is the Trek nerd, and he's going to answer this hard trivia question about the original series of Star Trek, which starred Captain Kirk and a crew, right? So here you go. In the original series episode, The Cloud Minders.
Yeah.
The. You know, you say bleh more often than you don't.
Yeah, it's getting rarer and rarer to hear a, episode.
I love that one. Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. In the original series episode, The Cloud Minders, the Enterprise is headed to the planet Ardana, in order to get, it sounds like a cop show in the 70s, doesn't it? Ardana, that's the fourth car you've wrecked this week. We got to get Mendoza. All right. Ardana, in order to get the mineral Xenite, they're going to usine the denite, it says here. I think he meant use. They're going to usine the denite to cure a plague. What kind of plague are they trying to stop? Is it A, plasma plague, B, typhon plague, rather, C, botanical plague, or D, Terrelian plague? The Terrelian plague. Terrelian plague.
Terrelian?
Terrelian plague? Is that it?
That sounds right, yeah.
Ah, damn it. I'm required by law to play that.
Weary.
Okay, fine. All right. So while you think about that, we probably ought to eat one of these here taffy deals.
Yeah, they're not getting any, the bag's not getting any lighter.
Well, mine did yesterday. We'll tell you about that in a second.
Oh, are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Bunch of foodie.
We got these real taffy deals from, is it Darren? No. What was his name? Oh, crap. I lost the sheet.
Oh. It was from Michael.
Michael, thank you.
Michael from Oregon, yep.
The reason I mentioned that earlier is I had a few of these yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, I couldn't help it. They're great. They're really, everything in here is good. The problem is I may have gotten myself like a binge of DS9. I don't want to watch any Star Trek anymore. I kind of don't want any more. But I will, and I'm gonna. So let's just take a random one. I'm gonna pick one that looks like dirt. Okay.
I got one that's half pink, half yellow.
Mine looks like a white one with dirt.
I'm not looking at the flavors until I taste it and then see what it is.
Chat room, I'll show you here. Mine looks like dirt in there. Like a dirty, little tiny dirty diaper, it looks like. And it doesn't smell like anything. So I don't know what to do or what to think.
I think I'm going to pick this blue one that has red in the middle. It looks like a bad 3D movie in candy form.
I know what
form.
That one is.
Oh, did you have this one already?
I had one too. Similar to it yesterday.
Yeah, I have that one. I see it. Oh, wait, not the... Oh, I see what you mean by the movie form or the 3D. Yeah.
Oh, no, I guess that's different than the one I had yesterday. I thought that was a... The peanut butter and jelly one I had yesterday. That was brown in the middle. And
oh, I would have had one of those if I'd known they exist. Peanut butter and jelly.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do peanut butter jelly time and put your arms
I
in the
did.
Air?
I shucked my maracas in my banana suit. And
then say, where you at? Where you where at? You at?
There you go. There you go. Yeah, there you-
that's a weird thing. All right. So here we go. I'm going to take a big bite of this diaper and see how it is. I don't know what to call this. Maybe it is literally a diaper flavor. No, that's not bad. Now it's kicking in. That's what
I think
is
banana.
That?
Mine's definitely banana something.
Mine might be banana too. All right. Yeah, banana too.
No idea what. No idea what this is.
They're all good though. You do definitely get that feeling like. Unlike the big bag of store-bought stuff, this is made of different. This is different, you know? The real deal. You could see this being stretched by some old man in a window.
Cherry cheesecake is what I had, apparently.
Oh.
I thought I was tasting banana. But
How are you matching that up?
I'm just scanning the list for the colors.
I got
There's
it.
No better way to do it. We need a cross-reference database app on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeez, welcome to 2014. I do love the A prompt at the end of this thing. It's so great.
Right.
Go to line 44. All right. Congratulations to us for having fine taffy products in our mouths. Let's move on now to Daryl's birthday celebrations.
Okay. With a mouthful of goo.
Yeah.
Tomorrow will be Colm. I can't say Colm with this goo in my mouth. Colm Meaney.
Oh. Chief O'Brien. That's fantastic.
He will be 61.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good, I guess. He's doing well. I really enjoyed his over-the-top performance in Hell on Wheels Season 1 and 2, for that matter. I've not seen Season 3 yet, but I really liked that show because it's a Western, Brian. You know how I feel about those.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
He was great. He was the kind of kingpin dude that ran the railroad and got everybody building the railroad for the whatchamacallit company, based sort of on factual stuff. But anyway, he was great in that, and he's good in everything. If you see any of those...
The Commitments is fantastic.
Yes, yes. He's great in that. He's also really good in, like, small stuff where he's... What was the Scorsese movie? The New York... What's it called? New York?
Oh, Gangs of New York?
Gangs of New York.
Yeah, that's right. Basically, if you're Irish, we want you for this movie.
Yeah, he's great in those things. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
There you
so
go.
Great. Good happy tie-in with the whole the Deep Space Nine talk. Yeah. So perfect.
Yeah, and happy birthday. May you and Klinger's wife from MASH have a long life together. And, yeah, good luck to you. All right, that's great. What a good birthday. We like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Daryl making a sound.
Do.
All right, there you go.
Oh yeah, who can forget Con Air?
I guess
too.
I'll just have to bite it.
Yeah, you will. All right, so let's move on. That sounded like you just said that, didn't it? Like you were just saying it now. Like that's
all mushy and wet.
See,
mine's defective.
All right, great. I'm collecting a great, great bunch of these. Big thanks to Mike Slate, aka Iceworm, here for capturing those out. All right, here we go. Back to your question. Plasma plague, Typhon plague, botanical, or Torellian plague?
Botanical. That would mean like plants.
I think so. Like, isn't that what that is? Where you say a botanical garden, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So your plants have a disease. Is that what it is?
I don't know. I don't know what a botanical garden is versus just a garden. What's the difference?
I guess there wouldn't be any if you were growing arms and legs out of dirt or something. Yeah, I mean,
are vegetable plants considered botany?
I don't know. Botany Bay.
Botany Bay.
Botany Bay. Oh, boy. The snake is eating itself. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the real... I guess we could find out. We do have the internet. Botanical definition. Here you go. Botanical. Of or relating to plants. So you would say botanical specimens would be like, here are some plants. As a noun, a substance obtained from a plant and used as an additive, especially in gin or cosmetics. So there is also a noun use and an adjective use.
So really it's just, you know, any garden with plants, vegetable, flower, whatever, is a botanical garden.
Here's how Google...
As opposed to a beer garden.
Right. Well, here's how...
Kindergarten.
This is what Google says it like this.
Botanical.
There you go. That's how it is. Botanical.
Botanical.
Oh, my.
Botanical.
That's fun. Oh, that's great. I love that you can do, like, here. You can do this for anything. So I would look up the word horse.
Horse.
And they just have all those spoken things. A solid
hoofed. Oh, it's a happy version, though.
Listen, horse. A solid hoofed plant-eating domesticated mammal with flowing mane and tail. Oh, that's great. Used as a verb, provide a person or vehicle with a horse or horses. A frame of structure on which something is mounted or supported, especially a sawhorse. And then finally, another name used for Julia Roberts.
Horse.
All right. Back to the point. Botanical.
Okay. Yeah.
Veered off the road there, didn't
we? That's the only one that jumps out at me. This was a horrible episode. The third season, of course.
Yeah.
That's where most of the bad ones live in TOS.
That's where the final seasons where all the bad episodes exist in all Star Trek. Many of them, I should say.
Yeah.
Because there's some bad business in... That last season of TNG is terrible in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So, Caveman Riker's all I say about that.
I'm going to choose the botanical one. I already did choose that.
I like that you're now saying it the way that guy did.
I'm choosing it for real.
All right. Well, let's find out if you're right. Is it botanical? Hold on. Botanical.
Botanical.
Congratulations! Oh. You're a winner!
Well done. It's the that plague. They are trying to cure it. Their mission gets complicated by terrorists. Here's a clip of Kirk being captured. I'm sure this has got some sweet business attached to it. Here we go.
And I've brought with me a hostage. Seize him!
We had a bargain. Why did you break it?
Did you really think I would trust you, Captain? I'm not such a fool.
I trusted you.
You thought you would trick me with your talk of your filter and your unseen gas. I don't believe you any more than Placis does.
And you are a fool. These masks will free you, just as I said.
Our weapons are our freedom. And you've just furnished me with two very valuable ones. Yourself and this.
Holding me won't help you. My men will still come for that Xenite consignment.
Without your communicator, you will be hard to locate.
What a bunch of mumbo freaking jumbo, man.
Yeah.
That's terrible, but I like her reference to his gas. I got your gas. I'm going to save that one and play with it. So there you go. Daryl has done what he came here to do, which is triumphantly beat the clock and win and destroy his enemies before him, which is great because he's on a podcast called This Week in Trek, and you can learn more about his feelings about Star Trek by listening to that show. And you can also catch him on the very different Grumpy Cast. With him and Hammond Chamberlain, which is a fine piece of podcasting variation as well. Daryl, now's the time that you give us a question and we try to answer it properly.
Ah, yes. How about this one? Federation Starship or Canadian Superhero?
Well, it's leftover week, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
It is.
Crack open the Tupperware and go for it.
Okay, well, here's your... we got to have a theme for you. Here you go. All right, triumphant, go.
Guardian.
Oh, easy. I even have him right over here on the wall.
So he's, what is he?
He can in grabbing him so I can show him on the camera.
Yeah, let me see.
Where the hell's Guardian? Here he is. He's over here by Puck, Sasquatch, and Snowbird. He is a member of Alpha Flight.
Oh, yeah. Look at him. There was some rumor floating around that Marvel's actually working on an Alpha Flight movie. That'd be cool.
Really?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, if they can pull off this Guardians of the Galaxy thing, which is largely unknown to a lot of people, mm-hmm. I think they can do anything.
I think then Alpha Flight looks almost easy after you can figure out a way to make Guardians palatable to a mainstream audience.
And it gives them one more movie excuse to not have Wolverine.
Yeah. Still don't have Spider-Man. Let's do something else. All right, Daryl. So we both say it's an Alpha Flight guy. It's a Canadian superhero.
Of course. See you next week.
See you later, Daryl. Good try. Good try. Good try. Good dry try.
Good try.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Why not do some news?
We'll do that. And it's brought to you by Potato Guns. They're not just for grandma anymore.
I know, right? We've come a long way.
I'm going to throw a big shout out to Tadpool member Rohan for being just awesome. Hero of the day. I'm calling him for me. Hero of the day.
Oh, why? What happened there?
He helped me out with getting something that was only available in the UK music-wise, and I'm super psyched.
Oh, that's great. He's a UKite himself?
He's a UKite, and there's an album by a couple members of a band called The Beautiful South that I'm a huge, huge fan of. Mm-hmm. And they've reunited and put together a duet album, basically, and not available in the US unless you want to pay really exorbitant import fees. And big shout out to Rohan for helping me out.
Oh, the beautiful South.
Yes.
Yes. A Little Time.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. 90s era stuff, right?
Yes. Yep. Maybe. They kept going into the 2000s and actually put out some great albums. They had three female vocalists who each did their time with the group and apparently just got sick of dealing with the frat boy mentality, I guess, of the touring guys when they were on tour.
Wow.
But really, really awesome band.
Lead vocalist, or I guess singer-songwriter, main head band man, Paul Heaton.
That's the one from the House Martins, too.
It's weird that he's 52 now.
Wow.
It's weird. All right, well, there you go.
Happy hour again. Don't believe us.
I used to love that.
Yeah.
I used to love it. Now it's going to earworm me to death today, though.
It's all right.
You know what?
There are worse things they could earworm you with.
I'm going to listen to the House Martins later. That's
cool.
That's how I'm going to celebrate. Why is the Honda Accord the most stolen car in America? That's the question on the lips of all of us today, especially me, because my wife now has a Honda Accord. And I want to know why that car is
because
targeted.
You can start it with your pinky.
All you have to do is wave your hand. That starts right up. We really like this car. It's good. But here's the deal. Cars can be quite expensive targets for thieves. But if you're shopping for a new one, you may be interested in the Honda Accord. Consider this, though. It's reportedly been ranked the most stolen vehicle for the last several years. This is according to Wikimedia Commons and Bulldozer. Bulldozer.
I said, these are funny sources. According to Wikimedia Commons and Bulldozer.
Nemesis.
Those two were great on The Matrix.
I know, right? Oh, I love it. Bulldozer. There was a guy named Dozer, right?
Dozer, yeah. Tank and Dozer.
Tank and Dozer, the brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Dozer... Which one was the one that annoyed me is the question.
Probably Dozer.
Who lived? It was probably Dozer, because Tank died.
Right, Tank died. Yeah,
spoiler.
So.
And then Dozer lived.
It's been 15 years. I think we can spoil that one.
And rumor was on the set he was crazy. Like, drove everyone nuts, kind of stalked people, like, he was weird. So they got rid of him, and in the sequels, he was played by Michael from Lost.
Yes, right.
Yeah, that was Dozer, supposed to be Dozer again. A lot of people just assumed it was a new character, but nope, it was damn Dozer.
Yes.
No kidding. Whatever happened to Mouse? He died, though, right? Mouse died.
I think most of them died.
Did they?
Didn't it just come down to... Neo and Trinity and
Morpheus.
And, Morpheus.
And then Dozer. He lived.
And Dozer. Right.
That's it. So there
Mendoza.
we got to get Mendoza. So what happened to Joey Pants? I can't remember how he went out.
He went out in the first movie.
I got shot by Dozer.
Choked on the most delicious piece of steak.
And he didn't care if it was real or not. I think he got shot by Dozer with that gun. I think that was the deal. Because he came in, shot Dozer, thought Dozer was dead. Dozer got up and blasted him.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And Iceworm clarifies the tank lived, but he got fired for being in the sequels. Guy who replaced him was actually named Link.
Oh.
So it was the dude went and came in and played a new character.
Oh, wait. So Dozer or Tank? Because Tank was the brother who died, right?
He said Tank lived.
I don't know, man. Now I got to go watch The Matrix. Right. I like that movie.
Go,
so it's
go
not
watch
a problem.
The Matrix with the Hal Spartan soundtrack.
Yeah, that's the movie I always scratch my head and can't figure out why it's rated R. I still don't know. There's no F-bombs. There's no naked ladies. There's no...
There's not a lot of blood. There's a lot
really.
Of shooting. There's a lot of guns.
Yeah,
but
welcome to every other movie. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what happened there. I still don't get it. Like, at least at the second one, you're like, oh, Neo and Trinity doing it in a beanbag in the middle of Zion or whatever.
That's right.
I guess that makes sense. With a bunch of body doubles and stuff. I really like her. She's not in enough things. That Carrie, what's her name?
Oh, Carrie Ann Moss?
I think she's great. I really like her.
She's very compelling. And her in Memento.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fantastic movie, but it's fantastic because of her and Joey Pants.
Agreed. Totally agree. Oh, I forgot Joey Pants was in that. Joey Pants is not in enough things either now. Put him in more things, please. Hey, making a mobster movie? More Joey Pants. Anyway, the deal is this report on Monday, this got released, the vehicle tracking company LoJack lists the Honda Accord as the most stolen vehicle in 2013. Now, here's the problem. The Honda Civic was second. The only data they have to track is cars who feature LoJack's technology, their anti-theft technology.
Okay.
So there may be other cars who are robbed more.
But they don't have that technology.
But they don't have a way to track it, right? So who knows? But other stories and studies have suggested that this looks accurate because they're just people want those cars. They last forever. They hold their value, you know. That they're a high target because of a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, check this out. According to the National Insurance Crime Bureau, they listed the Accord as the top target for theft, making up a total of nearly 60,000 thefts in 2012 alone. So in 2012, 60,000 Honda Accords were taken.
Wow.
That's crazy. So I'm going to keep an eye on the car there because... I don't want that to happen. I guess we have insurance, but whatever.
Get a club. Get one of those clubs and put on the steering wheel.
Yeah. Or what's the tire?
You don't see those anymore, right?
No, you never do. I bet they were easy to unlock and then use as a weapon. That's what I think happened there.
Yeah.
Remember the snake handler preacher we talked about on the show that got bit and died?
Oh, yeah, right. And he refused to go to the hospital saying that, you know, God's going to...
Jesus will save me.
He's going to help me out, yeah.
I've been bitten by the devil and never, never do, right?
Help a brother out, right?
Help a brother out. So he died, and then his son now does the snake handling, okay? So he saw that and went, I'm going to pick up where my dad left off. And, you know, of course, turned the whole thing into a positive for himself there. Mm-hmm. My father died to show the example, to show the way, so that I might wrestle with snakes like an idiot. Son of snake handler killed by snakes gets bitten also. The son hasn't died, but... The son of a snake handler handling Kentucky preacher who died from a snake bite says he's recovering from his own rattlesnake wound. Cody Coots.
Cody Coots.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Cody
Coots. How many pairs of suspenders do you think are in his closet?
I bet all of them. All of the pairs. Cody Coots tells the Lexington Herald Leader. This sounds like the dude in the fourth season of Justified who got bit by the snake. It was
Cody Coots.
It sounds like the same
guy.
Oh,
yeah, right.
And it's in Kentucky, even. It's crazy. Anyway, he was bitten on a finger as he removed the snake from the cage on Monday. The 21-year-old Coots says he declined medical treatment from an ambulance crew. Instead, he said he relied on prayer for healing. Coots says he told the Lord he wouldn't go to the hospital. He said his hands swelled and then he vomited repeatedly. But on Tuesday, the pain was gone. Coots is a fourth generation snake handler, has been bitten 5 times previously. So you know what? You got bit on your finger, you got lucky, buddy.
Totally.
Wait until that one bites you in the side like your paw there. What are you gonna do?
See, now here's the thing though, is that now that he's survived with that, he's gonna be, you know, it wasn't just luck that helped him survive getting bit on the finger by a snake bite and
no.
puking. It was the Lord. The Lord saved him.
Of course it did. No, yes. you can twist anything to be anything, Brian. I can tell you this right now. Today, I was considering I was considering shooting a horse, devouring its heart, and then jumping off a cliff into a pile of nuns. Okay,
Who hasn't?
Who hasn't thought that? Yeah, but I had one of these taffies. Changed my life.
The taffy saved that horse.
It did. I'm going to go out later instead.
And those nuns.
I'm going to give a dollar to a homeless guy or something. I got it all worked out. Coots is a four. I already said that. So anyway, one day he'll be an old coot. I'm looking forward to that. When does that happen? Over 50? When you get the Denny's deal? Is that when you're an old coot? If your last name is Coot?
Is that the coot cutoff or the coot?
Coot cutoff.
The coot.
The accoutrement. The coot.
Coot border.
Coot border. I like it. Margins of the coot. All right. Well, here's what you want to do right now, folks. I want you to just settle in. Listen to me tell you about our friends at HelloFresh.com. Mm-hmm. HelloFresh.com, making cooking fun again every week. Their chefs create delicious recipes. You pick from what you like, and they send you the exact farm fresh ingredients straight to your door. Send you everything you need to make a delicious, healthy meal in 30 minutes or less. Visit HelloFresh.com and see if they deliver to you. They're expanding all the time, so check back. If they weren't before, they might be now. The code is MorningStream at checkout for 50% off first-time customers. That's MorningStream50. Morning Stream for 50% off for first-time customers. Go do it. Check it out. You'll love it. We do. Go.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
flatulating men of a certain age. You know you want some.
Yeah, you do. So I'm watching the Pacific, the HBO deal.
The HBO thing, right. Mm-hmm.
And I actually was just going to want to just sort of get into it in a little bit and just see if I liked it, but I ended up getting totally roped in. And man, has it got me in the mood for like historical World War II stuff again. Like, it's really good. It's really well done. I'll probably watch Band of Brothers again as well. I like that stuff. I'm a sucker for all that stuff. Hulu. You're familiar with Hulu?
I've heard of them. Yeah, they're like a thing on the computer,
yes,
right?
You have to have a computer.
Computer thing.
Well, sort of. You can have other devices. What's a device? Nah, I don't want to explain it, Grandma. Hulu is a thing I just canceled. I canceled Hulu Plus because...
Really?
Yeah, I was tired of them saying, hey, we're going to have a black screen for 80 minutes and chastise you for having an ad blocker that I'm not running.
Oh, yeah, that would do it. That would... tick me off too.
It's happening too often. It happened every other time I tried to watch on a computer with no ad blocker at all. So it isn't me, it's them. It's them doing something and blaming me for it. So there's nothing worse. If I was indeed running an ad blocker, fine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't. You just showed me a commercial 20 minutes ago. Now you can't? And then one time the 80, I'm like, this is the third 80 second chastisement I'm getting.
Right.
They get to the end of it. And mind you, I'm paying them monthly for this. All right. They get to the end of that 80 seconds. Black screen. Nothing. Doesn't go on. So I refresh. Puts me somewhere in a different episode of the beginning. I'm like, I don't know where I was. Oh, I don't know what's going on. I got on there. I screamed on Twitter and I got on the thing and I deleted my account. Because I'm like, what am I getting? What am I even paying for?
When you did that, did you go... The following subscription cancellation is brought to you by your ineffective ad blocker protection.
That would have been great. I could have dealt with it better. But I was so angry. It was like, well, all right, well, with everything I get from Prime and everything I get from Netflix and everything I get from other sources, what do I even pay you for? Yeah. That's $7 a month I could pay for individual episodes of things I really want to see on iTunes or some other service.
Amazon Prime.
Sure.
Or whatever,
a million other things. You're not doing anything for me. You're repeating the same... a leave ad 5 times in a row, chastising me that I've got an ad blocker, even though you just showed me the ad. You're a bunch of bums. Like, fix that. Fix it and maybe I'll come back. Now, why I might come back.
Okay. Well, hold on. There was one before you get to that, before I actually get to the story. Before you disconnected, did you ever see an ad for something called Trivago?
Trivago?
It's like a travel hotel booking site.
No, that's not familiar to me.
They have the weirdest, most homeless-looking pitchman.
Trivago.
Unintentionally homeless-looking pitchman. Like, if you do a search for Trivago ad.
Okay, let's do that. It's T-R-I.
T-R-I-V-A-G-O.
Commercial. Here we go. Oh,
this guy looks so disheveled and unshaven, and his fingers are dirty.
And the camera lighting's awful.
All right, he looks all gray.
Have you ever looked for a hotel online? Did you notice that there's so many prices out there for the exact same room? Trivago does the work for you and instantly compares.
Do you know I just woke up and I'm not wearing a belt?
You know, I haven't been home in weeks. Some guy found me in a bar last night and asked me if I do this ad.
I'm really glad you brought that or pointed that out. That is funny. That's really funny.
It's kind of ironic, but I'm talking about staying in a hotel.
Well, the whole point is they're in talks to get Community and revive
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Oh, yay. Awesome.
I want them not to be the ones, though. I'd rather this be Netflix or Amazon or somebody because they just piss me off. Ugh. And it's not like it's been like this for a long time with them for me. It's just I finally had enough. Like, I'm not paying you to do this to me anymore. This is lame. And by the way, when you cancel,
yeah,
you get a series of Simpsons clips with clips from the show, but they are all things that say, why are you leaving? Why are you leaving? Why are you leaving?
Really?
Yeah. It's real weird.
It's almost too bad you didn't capture that.
I should have. Yeah, I should have. Because you don't see it unless you go do it. All right. LeVar Burton.
Yeah.
Star Trek's Geordi LaForge.
Yes.
He's the blind one. He was also Kunta Kinte in Roots.
Right.
He makes Reading Rainbow. He did the Reading Rainbow. You remember that?
Reading Rainbow. Well, I remember that existing, and I remember him being part of it. I never saw a single episode of Reading Rainbow.
It's in a book. Something stuck. Reading Rainbow. That's how the song went. I saw it because my kids were into it, and I liked it too. I thought it was good. It's a great kids sort of, you know, kid-centric sort of education reading thing. And it was on PBS, and he's making a ton of money now reviving it. LeVar Burton's fundraising efforts to bring Reading Rainbow to the online masses is a by-the-book success. The goal of raising $1 million by July 2nd was reached within hours of the campaign's launch. Wednesday on the Kickstarter, according to the website, more than 23,000 donors had pledged $1.1 million and counting. And they're just barely into it. Let's actually go see Kickstarter. Let's see where it's at today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I've been getting constant alerts from everybody that I follow, like Veronica and Len and everybody who are backing this thing on Kickstarter. And I feel like, well, I've never seen an episode. It's a good thing. It's helping kids read.
Don't buy into online Twitter nerd peer pressure. If it's not a thing you're into, I don't think you should support it.
Yeah. But all the cool people are supporting it.
Yeah, all the cool kids are. 1.7... million dollars. They still have 34 days to go, and it's cool. The goal is to focus on the kids, and that's great. So I think this is awesome. So way to go, LeVar. But I'm not really in the market. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's out of my demographic now.
Right.
I hate to say it, but anyway, there's that.
What'd you think of the children?
Let's see. Burton's business plan. I'm not going to read that part. Let's get to this Brad Pitt fight part.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt attacked at Hollywood premiere of Maleficent. Maleficent. This is that queen of the freaking
Sleeping Beauty, right?
Sleeping Beauty queen. No, wait. Is it Sleeping Beauty or the other
Cinderella?
One?
No, not Cinderella.
The Seven Dwarfs there. The
Snow White. That's the one. Yeah. Yeah, she slept too.
Yeah, why not?
They all sleep.
So they all went. Yeah, everyone pricked a finger or ate an apple and
right,
fell asleep.
Exactly.
It's all the same. Jeez, if you've heard one fairy tale, you've heard them all. One moment, excuse me, Brad Pitt was signing autographs, and the next, taking an apparent blow to the face.
Wow.
Pitt was on the Hollywood premiere at the Hollywood premiere of his wife's movie. And on Wednesday night, when a man hopped out over a barrier and apparently attacked the actor, this is according to L.A. Police Sergeant Leonard Calderon, the suspect attacker is 25-year-old Vitaly Seduik. Do you think I got that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much how I would have said it. Yeah,
Who knows? A serial troublemaker. Which is what I used to be on Saturday mornings.
By the way, Mike Boyd says it is Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
This is the wicked version of Sleeping Beauty,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is that, because it's basically like, what's her backstory? She wasn't always bad. Blah, blah, blah.
Exactly, yeah.
A serial troublemaker at a celebrity event. This guy's known for this. Police did not say whether Pitt punched or slapped, but the attacker struck him in the face. Seduik was arrested on suspicion of battery. I checked his pants, and sure enough, there was a Duracell in there. Saduic.
Suspicious D-sized bulge.
Exactly. In the right pocket. I can see the nipple of the battery. Is that what you call that end? Is it the nipple? What do you call
the
that end? Yeah, is that the nipple
end? I call
it
the positive end, but now from now on I will call it the nipple end.
All right, and the other end would be the innie of the battery. Saduic.
The innie and the outie.
He has a history, it says here, of confronting celebrities at red carpet events in 2012. He was slapped by actor Will Smith after he attempted to kiss Smith. He tried to kiss Will Smith. And Will Smith responded by slapping him.
And then going, ha ha!
Ha ha! Dint, 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 dint. And then did a song about getting jiggy with it. At the 2013 Grammy Awards, Saduic charged the stage before singer Adele could accept her award. Somebody stop that man! How would you do it? You do her voice better than me. Me and Adele.
No, are you kidding? I like that. That's
it wasn't very good.
Oh my God, I just came on the red carpet and ran up on stage and tried to get me.
Adele does it.
Right. She's the one. All right, that's it for that. Hey, tweakedaudio.com sponsoring the show. You guys know, you want noise reduction, you want compatibility, you want lifetime warranty, you want engineering, you want colors, you want styles, you want over the air, you want comfort, cans, you want comfort. Yeah, you want comfort.
And quality and sound and all that stuff.
All of that list I just gave you, and you want it for less money. 33% off with the code STREAM at checkout with our friends at tweakedaudio.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Wendy will be here with a big Therapy Thursday question. Kind of a rough one, I think. Well, maybe not. We'll see. You never know. We always walk away from those better than we approach them.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So I'm not too worried.
Often they help way more people than the person who wrote in the email.
Right on. So before we do that, you've got music, and I've got ears, so let's play it.
All right, this comes in from Zytam.
Whoa.
Z-Y-T-A-M-B. Hello, Scott and Brian. This is Zytam in the forum and an AIE. This is the third time I've sent in a request, and this time I'm keeping it simple. Oh, I'm guessing that he hasn't had the last two requests played. Sorry, man. It's the first time I'm ever seeing your name, so I apologize for that. Okay. The Instance was the first podcast I ever listened to back when it was in the late double digits, and I've been listening to Frog Pants shows since before there was even a Frog Pants. Wow. June 1st is my 48th birthday. Wow. Since that's a Sunday, could I get a song on that Monday? Oh, well, how about Thursday? Sorry, I didn't read that part either. I'm really bad at reading Zytam's emails, apparently. Could you play a cover of John Cage's 4 Minutes and 33 Seconds? Ha ha ha. If not, then how about Red Elvis's? They have a great cover of Bad Romance on the album Psychobilly Goes Pop. If not that, then just something Zydeco. Love the show, though. Zytam.
All right.
All right, so the whole joke of that John Cage's 4 Minutes and 33 Seconds, it's 4 Minutes and 33 Seconds of silence.
Oh.
So right. Everybody covers that.
Sure.
But let's do his second request, which is the Red Elvis's Bad Romance. Yeah, this is actually a really cool album. Again, it's called Psychobilly Goes Pop, has a bunch of those kind of psychobilly, the rockabilly, kind of the Cramps style rockabilly. Mm. When I hear psychobilly, I always think of the Cramps.
Yeah.
Came out a couple years ago, 2012, and it's a cover of Bad Romance, Lady Gaga, and of course had to go with something Elvis-like for today, right?
Yeah, why not? It's Elvis Day, everybody.
It's Elvis Day. Well, it's going to Vegas.
Right. Yeah, I get it now. Duh, Scott. Jeez. All right, well, here you go. It's Bad Romance. Next up, we'll be talking about real romance and relationships with Wendy Dunford. Come right back.
I want you ugly, I want your disease. I want you everything as long as it's free. I want your love. Love, 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 I want your love. I want your drama, the touch of your hand. I want your leather, static peace in the sand. I want your love. Love, 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 I want your love. I want you, know that I need you. I want it bad, your bad romance. I want a love and I want your revenge. You and me could write a bad romance. I want your love and your love is revenge. You and me could write a bad romance. Shut up. Romance, shot a lot of love. your horror, I want your design. But you're criminal as long as you're mine. I want your love. Love, 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 I want your love. I want your psycho, your vertigo stick. Want you my real with a baby, you're sick. I want your love. Love, 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 I want your love. Know that I want you, you know that I need you, baby. Ha, ha, ha.
Can play the same delightful game as you once played with her. Baby Peekaboo, a new doll from Hasbro that doesn't run on batteries. She runs on love and a little string your child pulls whenever she wants to play Peekaboo. Baby Peekaboo, she's a real charmer, just like your baby was.
Burger's dead too.
The Morning Stream. Voiceover Man, Excelsior! What's my power, Brian?
I never really discussed that. What is his power?
Voiceover Man?
Yeah.
Oh, he can.
Scott Fletcher! He has power over everything! Yep. Excelsior!
He's that kind of guy.
Sorry, I'm doodling my doodle this morning.
I see that. I saw your little posting of that. It's a great doodle.
Good times, man.
It's a really good doodle, Peter.
A lucky Patreon supporter gets a doodle every day. That's the thing. Well, not every day, but we give away random these doodles. I draw every day during the song, and then I sign them. And then once a month, they're shipped out to Patreon supporters. You can learn all about that at patreon.com/TMS. That is what keeps us afloat, damn it. Go check that out, will you? Support us.
Awesome. Yeah,
we
do.
Like it. Okay.
It helps us make more.
Right.
Make more of these.
Make it go. All right. We're going to add my sister, Wendy.
My sister. My sister.
Wherever I go. She's in Sweden for some reason. My sister. She's headed there soon.
She is. Wow.
Sooner than one would think.
Or hope.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, no.
Well, of course, you wanted to be happy and go there, but
I'm excited for them. It's a big adventure. You know, they're going to be heading and doing a crazy thing, but it's very cool. Hello. Oh, hi.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Hello.
Oh, hi. Hello. Can you hear us? Okay.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Where are you? You sound like you're in a different place.
I'm in my kitchen.
Oh, well, that is a very different place. How weird. Mm-hmm. it's my sister Wendy, everybody. Wendy Dunford is her now married name. Used to be Johnson back in the old days. And she's a mother and, more importantly, a therapist. And she helps people with their problems every day. And on Thursday, she comes on here and helps you with yours. It's good to have you here. You all set for this? You good?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great.
Let's do it.
How? By, just real quick, an update. How's the let's get our butts to Sweden thing going? How's the challenge?
Wow, the let's get our butts to Sweden is turning into interesting. Mm. Yeah. So a couple people have reached out to you, have responded, and no one makes it sound easy. I'm just going to say.
Yeah, it's not easy. I would think that moving your family to a foreign country all at once for an extended period of time doesn't sound easy to me.
Not an easy thing.
Not an easy thing. And it's not even that so much as, I mean, Sweden is interesting. Like, I could probably go to Costa Rica tomorrow and be like, all right, we'll just live on the beach till we figure this out. And it's not quite an option in Sweden. So,
yeah. So you're faced with housing conundrums and all of that. Yeah. Well,
we have an interesting market there. And, you know,
I have a feeling you'll work it out because you and Adam are scrappy this way. So I think it'll be fine.
Yeah. We'll get in a couple street fights and find ourselves a place to live.
That's brilliant. Well, continued luck with that. No, let's dive right into this person's problem, which has nothing to do with moving across the world. That has everything to do with settling down. And here's how it goes. Got an email from Jay. We'll use that as her name because we don't want to give away who this really is or whatever. Just trying to be anonymous. That's all I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Hi, Scott, Brian, and Wendy. I'm getting married in a few weeks, and it's quickly turning into something stressful. Not because of the man I'm marrying. He's wonderful. But because the wedding that was intended to be relaxed and stress-free is now giving me tons of anxiety. It's an interesting idea that your wedding could be stress-free and relaxing. I just don't know how you would do that. That's like telling me that, hey, Nerdtacular's a piece of cake. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
We got engaged last September, she says. And basically since then, we've been planning on getting married at the courthouse with our two best friends, my fiance's grandparents, his brother, and we were just going to eat out later to go out to dinner with everybody and just keep it real simple.
Dinner reception, yeah, cool.
I wanted to have a wedding that made us happy where we could just focus on each other. We didn't want to do anything that would follow the norm or please anyone else. I'm not close with my parents at all, so there's a little background. I'm not sure what went wrong or why I feel the way I do about them. Note that they were not invited in the earlier paragraph. And by the way, I've cut some of this down for length. This was ginormous email, but I got all the core stuff in here. They were always there for me when I financially needed them. I guess that was their way of showing me they loved me. My dad would say that he loved me, but it always felt cold and made me feel icky. There has never been a good communication between us. And then this bombshell. I was raped by an older boy when I was in high school, and it felt like I had no one to turn to. I felt alone and became really depressed and just kind of stopped going to my classes, or even when I went, I did not do my homework or study. I mentally checked out. I'm telling you all of this because I just told them I'm getting married through an email because that's how we communicate now. I asked them to go to dinner with us soon, but now they want to come to the wedding. As soon as I read their response, I started shaking and crying. Man. I really want or didn't want to feel this way that they make me feel on such an important day. I feel so upset and helpless. Even though we are not close, I can't turn to them and don't want them there. They're still my parents. Even if that doesn't mean much to me, I'm upset because I don't want them there and upset because I feel so guilty about not wanting them there. So now, because they are coming, my fiance wants to invite more people. All of a sudden, I feel really uncomfortable in social situations where I am the center of attention, and I fear that anxiety will be amplified with my parents being there. Wendy, please help me understand why I feel the way I do about my parents and give me some tools to make it through my wedding day with no anxiety and maybe even be able to enjoy myself. Thank you for everything you do, Jay.
Did she say when the wedding was? I kind of missed
that. Let's see. Two weeks. So. Few weeks, she said. Few weeks.
Boy.
Yeah. Okay. Soon then. Soon.
Yeah.
I would call that soon if you say a few weeks.
Soon. Yeah.
So what do you, where do you even start with this?
Well, let's start with a little definition of a couple things. So in life we have big T traumas, right? You witnessed a car accident. Your life was threatened in, a bomb scare. I don't know. You served in the war and you watched saw terrible things happen. There's a lot of the very specific things that your life has to feel threatened for the most part, sort of endangerment kind of thing that can would be considered big T trauma. And then there's a ton of little T traumas. And most people, because it's not big T, don't actually maybe recognize it or realize the import that it has in their life, because they're like, well, it was just that when my dad said he loved me, I felt icky, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is, but man, I would explore that. But you know, what has happened? I mean, obviously the rape was a big T trauma.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably a lot of other little T traumas, and one I would guess has to do with, it sounds like neglect or perceived neglect from her parents. If someone says, well, my parents threw money at it, or that's how they loved me, but there was sort of no emotional support, or, you know, that is considered neglect, right? And so a lot of people, unless it's physical neglect, like they didn't feed me or didn't clothe me, maybe don't recognize sort of how traumatic in the little T sense it is to have that disconnection with your parents and feel not protected or cared for. And that's a big deal, mm-hmm. which explains why she doesn't want him at her wedding,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Obviously, that goes fairly deep and has been a long-standing thing. So here's the thing. Okay, so there's that. And when she says, help me understand why I feel this way, when you shake and cry, that is some form of trauma that has occurred at some point, making itself clear, yeah, right? Like, yeah. No, this is not okay. Mm. And so it's in some sense re-traumatizing to, you know, have the thought of them coming to her wedding, and they're ruining the day before the day is even here.
I don't know what the current science is on the whole repressed memory thing, and how much that is either given credence to or has had taken away in the ensuing years, but could something like that be going on here where she has repressed something terrible, and you know, who knows what that is? We can only speculate, but that's the feeling I'm getting, and I'm trying not to be Hollywood about it, because that's what Hollywood would tell me.
Right.
But
and you typically don't describe, you don't use the word icky when you're talking about a family member telling you they love you, unless there's some, and I don't want to be Hollywood about it either, but I would definitely explore what that is. And it could be just the disingenuous relationship, and she's just using the word icky, but usually it's like, I don't like him, or I'm angry, or, you know, some other response. So yeah, the current research on it, I mean, it's such a tricky place, because, I mean, think about a dream you have, right? It's the weirdest deal. Like, I had a dream recently. I was in a class full of second or third graders. I wonder why. And I'm in a class full of second, third graders, and we're taking a math test, but the paper I had to use was a bag of broccoli, like one of those, like the bags that you can't, of course, write on.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I'm like, what the, I'm going to fail this quiz in second grade. I know this stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe it has something to do with moving to Sweden and not knowing what the H I'm doing, but whatever. So, but it was so vivid. And I remember waking up thinking, that is dumb. What a dumb dream. And that bag made me so mad. But the reality is my brain just put a bunch of junk together and created a dream, right?
Yeah.
Now, sometimes it will take things that have happened that are so painful we're not going to look at and bring them into a dream. Or, you know, it's hard to know what's real and what's not real. And a dream and repressed memories, they have a similar sometimes feel to them where you know, they're sort of pretty deep, and then the brain does with it what it will. And we're just not advanced enough yet scientifically to really parse it out cleanly, mm-hmm. so we can say. But I have absolutely been in the room with someone when they have recalled something that has been deeply, deeply forgotten. Mm. And it is quite the experience. It is not something like, oh yeah, now I'm going to make up this new thing. There is definitely something else going on. Yeah. So it's tricky, but she gives that vibe, comes off in this email. I agree. And mainly because most people have a decent enough relationship with their parents. They maybe think they're irritating, but not inviting them to the wedding or not having any relationship or talking to them or something really sort of strikes a chord of like something went on there. Because if you feel guilty for not wanting them there, but have not had them in your life for years, you maybe just be feeling guilty because this is a wedding and society says your parents come to your wedding.
Yeah.
Rather than really this relationship means something and I kind of don't want them there, but I'm going to do it out of social obligation or something. This just sounds like there's some tea trauma in there somewhere.
Something's going on. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that would be really important to explore. But also it sounds like, you know, she's got a couple weeks to this wedding and she's got to decide what to do. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about just what boundaries, let me assume there's some trauma. Okay. Cause it makes more sense, this suggestion. And then we can talk about another option, but right. Let's assume there's some trauma when anyone is, violated in any way, in any form of abuse or neglect, there is a thing that occurs in the boundary between your sense of self and then the other person. So you can have a relationship, say it's with your friend, and well, let's say it's family, because usually it starts when they're really young. It could be a father, child, mother, child, sibling kind of relationship. And one is abusing the other in some form. What they're doing is they're crushing any boundary that would be developing. And that's why it's so sort of the ramifications are so big when it happens when you're a kid, because you have yet to develop the boundary of who am I, where do I end and where do you begin, and what's okay and what's not okay. And when someone is crossing that line all the time, eventually that line sort of disappears, right? Mm-hmm. And there's often a connection between I feel this, like, so the abuser is angry and the automatic response of the one who's abused is it's my fault or it's me, or sometimes they just feel the anger too. Like there is, it's like a permeable border between the two and everything can go back and forth. So a really solid sense of self is hard to develop. So the problem is, obviously that's problematic in a lot of ways, but as they grow older and then become adults, there's this constant work on figuring out where they stand with other people. If that person's unhappy, it's me, you know, as opposed to, wow, that person's unhappy, that's about them, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. That line is really hard to draw. And so when she's talking about this wedding and how this is making her feel, it's sort of like she's been able to draw some boundary by having less contact with them, mm-hmm. but maybe that internal boundary isn't so great. And that's why she instantly gets thrown back into a traumatic response, which is this.
And this is just my own assumption based on my limited experience, but is it possible that she's also just straight up anxious person? Like maybe she's just that way and the little things are taking her further than they would most people. In other words, they're manifesting as big responses, but really it's her level of anxiety and how it fields the smaller things.
Right. That's already heightened because she's got a wedding. Right.
Right.
Very possible. Hmm. Except she gave us all sorts of juicy hints, like icky and haven't talked to my parents in years. Right. Yeah. If she left all that out, absolutely. I would think that it's probably just that and nerves and stress piles on. And then suddenly, you know, fiance is like, well, if your parents are coming, let's invite Jim and Dan and everybody else. And so, and it sounds like there's some social anxiety there a little bit, mm-hmm. that just doesn't really want to be the center of attention. And you know, you got Bridezilla who wants to be the queen that day. And then you have those who are like, yeah, can we just get that done in the courthouse? And
I really like the courthouse girl.
Yeah.
I don't like the Bridezilla ladies. They freak me out.
There's plenty in between, but you know, she's clearly on the other side of like, all right, too many bodies makes me nervous. Let's not do this, you know?
Right.
So, but going back to this idea of boundaries. So how does she handle this? 3 weeks before the wedding, there is no time to figure out your core childhood issues with your parents and comfortably have them there. It's not happening.
All right.
So she has to make a decision. And this is where, whether she was abused or not, but this idea of boundary setting, this happens. Anyone listening to me is saying, oh yeah, I wasn't abused, but I definitely have this with my mom or my dad or some significant family member who crosses their boundaries, because that's what you do, right? In families, you you're always figuring out where the boundary is. So, but as an adult, it's probably super irritating. Well, now I can avoid you or not answer your calls or something. But here is this day that, you know, it's going to be pretty obvious they're or they're not. She has to decide, first of all, what does she want?
Right.
And does this day, you know, what is the end goal? Is the end goal that this day is peaceful and calm and the way I want it and it's simple and it's, you know, and then the obvious answer is no one else gets to be invited but those couple people she talked about mm-hmm. in the email. Mm-hmm. And then everyone can come to the dinner or you have some other celebration. If you want to have other people feel included, you know, obviously you can do that. If the goal is to start to repair a relationship with her parents and this feels like a good step to do that, then invite them. And the day is second on the list, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to be honest about what's going to happen. I think so often we're either super pessimistic about the outcome or optimistic, like it'll work out, or I'm going to hate every second of this. Mm. And you need to sort of get out of the worry about what it will be like and look at what do I really want and what does the boundary mean or what boundary coalesces with or correlates with the what I want on that day, right?
Right.
So the toxic drunk uncle at your wedding, you know, you've seen him at other weddings and you're like, yeah, I can't invite him.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to offend everyone and I'm going to blah, blah, blah. Well, then you got to decide which is more important, in being embarrassed and asking him, please not come or come sober or uninviting him or something, or having the reality that he'll get drunk at your wedding or whatever.
Right. Right.
The likelihood, the eventuality.
Yeah.
I mean, in some cases you can, sometimes you can embrace that sort of thing and go, like, I have a quirky sister-in-law. Well, you have her as well, but who is very interesting because she brings this very deep-seated Korean culture with her to the States and has lived here a long time now, 20 plus years. But she's still got these quirks. And when we first were acquainted with her, it drove everybody crazy. And we all thought there was something wrong and that this isn't going to work and how miserable must Matt be and all blah, 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 blah. But something changed, something flipped. And now right. I freaking love it. I love the weirdness. It is adorable. And she's the sweetest thing. And you can't wait to see her and hug her. And she's wonderful. She is wonderful in every way, quirks and all. So at some point you can either go crazy drunk uncle, oh no, or I can't wait to see what Uncle Dingle does this time.
Dingle.
So it's all, some of that stuff is just sort of how you approach it or how you see it. But if there's one regret I have in life that I constantly try to curb, it's wasting too much time worried about what other people think.
Yeah.
And if you can stop doing some of that with this, it's what a great start to your married life to be able to just shove some of that aside immediately and go, whew, okay, that's off my back. Now we can just get married. And
and there's a reason there's a ton of people who get married in a courthouse with no one there.
Yeah.
Is it simplifies this thing and then everyone can be a little offended rather than specific people be really offended, you know?
Right.
Yeah. It's tricky. I mean, you know, and I think this is not an uncommon thing she's describing, which is major life events. We go weeks and months and years never addressing, you know, the elephant in the room in our families or in our maybe a work setting or something. And then until the moment there's a big party or the moment something bad happens or whatever, you know, it sort of pulls everything to the front and makes you look at it. And that is a very stressful thing. And you know, a wedding's supposed to be this happy thing. And the reality is I would like you to find me someone who's had a relaxed and no drama wedding. I think the very nature of it creates some of this stuff. And so it's sort of inevitable. And unless there's a family with not a single flaw, which doesn't exist, there's got to be something happening, right? So maybe part of it is to take away the shine off what it's supposed to be and decide what you really want. Do I really want just he and I there? Well, then disinvite everybody. Or if you really want the five people that you have invited and, you know, then you've got to set those boundaries and say no.
Yeah.
And the truth is, and this is what is so easy to say this, but it's not, you know, everyone has that person in their life who it doesn't matter how logical you can talk it through with somebody else. And then when you interact with them, it's like you buckle. You're like, I can't, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. You know, you just can't seem to you know, and so it's not a terrible thing to include your fiance in this discussion with your parents, maybe.
Right.
Which is maybe he can ask them, maybe he can set that boundary because right. you're overwhelmed and you're not in a position to do it.
It sounds like he's awesome. Like you, by all accounts. So let's leverage that early. Let's get, I mean, clearly he knows that he loves you and is with you regardless of what he may or may not understand about your levels of anxiety or some of these things that you struggle with. And he's there. He wants to get married. So he's likely going to want to help you with this stuff specifically and not make you feel like you're alone in this. He may need to just be told, you know?
Yeah. And especially like, I don't know if they've lived together or how long they've been together. You know, you don't really realize this thing until you're married that because you are one person first and you are supposedly independent and supposedly, you know, got it together enough to get married and this person's into you and here we go. And then you realize, wow, like my weaknesses are really kind of showing up and his strengths and his weaknesses are going to show up too. And you're going to find, I swear this happens with every couple. It must be part of the pheromone deal going on or something, but your strengths and weaknesses tend to yin and yang, and they tend to be pretty complementary and they tend to haywire if you don't deal with them well. But when you do, I mean, I don't know about this guy. He might have social anxiety too, but he also might not, and he might also be really good with boundaries. We tend to be attracted to someone who can do the things maybe we can't do. And then to get to a place where it's okay to become a team. It's okay to let that person be really good with the bills.
Sure.
And you just stop struggling and then do something you're good at, you know, and take turns or whatever. Some of that flexibility that has to come in a relationship, you just don't know about it till you're in one for a while sometimes, you know, and this might be a good start. I think someone might hear this and go, well, she needs to stand up for herself. And I would say, yeah, in for sure. But 3 weeks away from her wedding and she seems re-traumatized by this, maybe is not the best time for her to have an epiphany and, you know, somehow become really good at boundary setting or whatever, you know?
Yeah. It seems like this is the window. Yeah. This is a tight time frame. Yeah. You're going to be done in 3 weeks. Oh, it's Peter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Peter. He's asking for fruit snacks.
He wants to chime in. It's all right.
Fruit snacks, 9:30. He's like an addict.
Peter, future podcaster Peter. That's who we'll refer to him as.
Podcaster Peter.
Well, fruit snacks are better than candy, so that's good, I guess. Right? Or they're probably kind of the same. Yeah. If you want, there's less fruit in there than there is candy.
This just has a much better name, much healthier name.
Just a lot more snacks.
Well, I hope this is helpful to Jay, and I would love to hear back how things go and two things. Congrats on the wedding. Remember, it's an awesome thing. And good luck with it, because it sounds like it's a little stressful. But I think you've hopefully gotten some tools today to maybe deal with a little better than you would have otherwise.
And let me throw in one other thing she could do. Yeah. Sit down with some paper. I love old-fashioned paper.
Ah, yes.
And write out scenarios. So scenario one, they come to the wedding. You feel guilty, and to assuage your guilt, you know, kind of detail it, like why you do it. Then you invite them. They come. Scenario A, and scenario A one is that they're nice enough and it's okay. Scenario B is it's as bad as you expected. This is how it feels. And then talk about sort of write out the aftermath of that.
Yeah.
Is your tendency to then look back at your wedding day and regret this, right? Are you going to be furious forever? Because in order to get that guilty feeling to go away, you made a decision that was against your authentic needs and desires, right?
Yeah.
And then write out scenario B. I don't invite them. I set the boundary. What does that look like? My fiance sets that boundary. What does that look like? And you can write your greatest fears out. Like, it's okay to catastrophize like this, but you also have to do the B scenario. What does that look like? What's, you know, and maybe even have your fiance sort of talk it through with you, because he's going to be like, that's extreme, or I don't, you know. So you sort of do all of that and then look at it. Stand back and look at all of that and say, all right, which one am I going to choose?
Right.
Because I can't control a lot of elements here, but I can you do have a sense where you're going to be afterwards and how you're going to look at it. But we tend to just get stuck in our head doing this. This is why I suggest you write it, because you make this pretty thorough. And then it's sort of a cost benefit analysis. Like, what do I really want to do? How do I really want to go through through with this? Take 20 minutes to do this rather than accidentally have them at your wedding and regret it the rest of your life, or not invite them and regret doing that. So
yeah, do like me. Sit down, write down the pros of eating half a bag of Cool Ranch Doritos and the cons. The pros are, yum, yum, right?
Doritos, yeah.
The cons are curled up in the fetal position for 3 hours on Monday. So
you know what you need to do?
What?
Not buy Doritos.
Not buy Doritos. A, don't buy Doritos. B, do the JoJo trick. Had Trader Joe's cookies?
Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah. So I was doing this stupid health thing, which I'm anti-health things now because it was so hard. Anyway, and you could have one treat a day, but man, one like serving of sugar is like the size of your finger now.
Yeah.
So I would put a JoJo in my mouth and let it melt.
Oh, those are called JoJo's?
For a while. So what you could do with the Cool Ranch Dorito, put it in your mouth,
yeah,
just suck the flavor off and then spit it out.
But I don't know if the flavor is my problem. It might be the issue that flared me up. Okay. I don't know. There's MSG in those things, and there's some talk.
Basically, the equivalent of licking the chip is what that really is.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. So
try licking the chip.
Okay.
Because the truth is, no one's ever eaten a Dorito because they needed to satisfy a nutritional need.
No.
Eating it for the taste.
Right. Well, I mean, in the zombie apocalypse, I suspect they will be greatly appreciated by people who need to survive. But as a society where we seem to be functioning okay, and we have choices like this with our food, it clearly is not the choice I should be making.
Yes. Choose wisely.
But there's still, here's the funny bit, Wendy, and maybe one of these days, maybe one of the therapy show episodes will be about this. In fact, it damn well should be, because I think I finally understand what it means to be somebody who's like a drug addict. Because when I went through that pain on Monday, it was real rough. And that same day, later that day, I'm walking through the kitchen. I see the bag of sealed up Doritos over there, and I want more. But there's a thing in me that says, Scott, you should eat more of those. And I'm going, are you freaking kidding me? I just totally had this averse reaction to eating too many Doritos, and now you want me to eat more? Like, I think I understand where their heads are at.
Absolutely.
It's really weird that I would find that through a Dorito and not a bag of heroin, but it's the same kind of thing. We should totally make that an episode of The Therapy Show, which, by the way, is in the throes of its final 40 hours of funding over there on Indiegogo at Indiegogo.com. You can go to tiny.cc/therapy show if you still want to support it. There are great levels to support us at. And 40 hours left on the big.
Yeah, please don't do $1 or $2 so my son doesn't have to cry and pray for you.
Yeah, okay? That was weird. He was. I need more Abe in my life, and now he's going to Sweden. What's going on with that?
I don't know. Let's hope it doesn't crush his soul.
He'll be fine. Anyway, so that's the thing. We're still working on. Still recording those episodes now, so we're in production. So if you were worried that we were going to take the money and run to Sweden, nope. We actually
just Wendy.
Only half of you are.
Yeah, half of you are. I'm going to be standing there giving advice about Doritos, so it'll be fantastic. Wendy, good job. Anything you want to pimp? Any causes? Anything?
No.
All right.
Just find me somewhere to live in Sweden.
All right, perfect. Somebody let her do that, will you?
Please.
Right.
Bye
now. Have fun.
Bye.
See you.
Okay. I meant to ask her about her sleepwalking thing, and I forgot. I'll do that next week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. We talked about that earlier this week, didn't we?
Yeah. I just want to kind of get the skinny on whether that's still happening or not, because maybe it is, for all I know. We're going to do a quick email, and I'm going to tell you that email is brought to you by
Salty. You're going to tell, or I'm going to tell them. Salty horseflesh, just the way Mom used to make it.
Ah, salty horseflesh.
You know, I could talk about the Coverville that was yesterday.
Yeah, why don't you? What'd you got there?
Lenny Kravitz, Jewel, and Alanis Morissette. It was all 90s up in here, and
did you do covers of It's the Ironic Song?
It was a cover by Scala. You know, the choir that did that awesome version of Radiohead's Creep for Social Network?
I love that. Yeah.
They do a great version of Ironic.
Oh, that's great. Did they change any of the lyrics to be
still
ironic?
It's still not ironic, okay. But
it's still just coincidence.
It's still, what's that? There's a type of irony that somebody says is prevalent in that song, like dramatic irony.
Oh. Something I think like it also, the song should be called "Isn't It Coincidental." That's how it should be.
Isn't it unfortunate?
See, fixing the music industry one song at a time. All right. One email came to us from April who says this. I don't think it's our April.
It's definitely not our April.
It says, hello, Scott and Brian. I'm a new-ish listener to the show, and I was wondering, are you two together? I can't help but notice the chemistry between you two, and it's awesome. And I'm so proud of you two for what you do on such a large platform. It's really great to see. If this is not the case, then I apologize. It was just the vibe I got from the show. Keep rocking on, April. Brian, this marks like the third or fourth email we've ever gotten asking if you and I are quote-unquote together.
Mm.
We're together in one way. We're pals. Well, we're buddies. We're co-hosts.
In this TMS way. In this,
she must be a real listener, new listener, where we haven't mentioned, I don't know, our wives, our families, our our predilection for the ladies.
You mean our beards? Is that what you're talking about?
But we're glad to have you on board, April. It's always room for more Aprils, and you probably have figured it out by now. But Brian and I are not quote unquote together. And if we were together, we wouldn't need Skype. We'd be together, you know?
Right. Yeah, we're 800 miles away from each other.
We'd live in a sweet botanical garden somewhere. And
you'd have to move here, I think.
Yeah, I'd move to Denver. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah, I don't mind. I can pretty much be anywhere. I love it here, but I could be anywhere.
If we were going to get married, you'd have to move here.
Yeah, I'd have to move to... Oh, you're right, because that law... No, actually, it didn't. It got struck down here or something. Something happened. The ban got struck down. I know it sounds crazy. You got to remember, Utah voted most gay-friendly in the Gay and Lesbian magazine or whatever. I don't know. It's a weird contradiction of things here sometimes. Oh, by the way, yesterday, guys said, you know, we were talking about Utah and how generous that study showed that we were generous.
State. Yeah.
It's such a wiener on Twitter. I got to, maybe I shouldn't read this. He just, the most wildest comment, the most ridiculous comment. And I had to. You know what? I'll talk about it next week when I can find it.
Okay.
Because it was...
You know, are you going to feed some trolls?
A little bit. Maybe. I don't know. I need him not to... I want to change this guy. I want him not to be this way about anything, any subject. I want him to...
I don't want you to be this way.
Yeah, I want you to be a nice guy. I want you to be cool, man. I want you to be open-minded and free. I want to free your mind, man. All right. That's it. Let's take a trip down ending the show road. Oh, is
Cleo's here. Yeah, let's pull Cleo in.
Let's get her in. Hold on. I'm leaning over here to breathe. Cleo, Carrie, Squeery. Here it is. Okay. Bringing her in. Let's finish this thing out. Do what we got to do.
Squeering.
McGreeny. All right, we're going to play a little theme here, maybe. Like, I don't know. How about...
How can you keep a straight face when a little guy in a cutaway coat comes to you and complains about the bullet holes in his derby?
Yeah, how can you, really? Cleo, what's going on?
Would you just start licking the chips already? No. God, get on board already.
I should. There's a whole bag upstairs. I could lick them all. I really could. Every time I see it, I go, just one chip. Just one.
And the thing is, you will feel better.
I could eat just one. And that would be fine. I know that. But I'm not going to eat just one. I can't. Mm-hmm. What's the old, the Klingon?
The Lays.
The Lays, yeah, right. You can't stop with just one or whatever?
That you can't eat just one, yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. Whatever. I gotta cut this crap out of my life. But I don't want to cut Cleo out of our weekly life because she sums up the week in ways that only she knows how. And it's all the funny crap that happened in the tadpole and otherwise between Monday and today. And damn it, she's going to share it with us now. So what the hell happened?
All right. Well, when you were talking about Bill Duran needing a rapper name,
Tom
DeGosa said his rapper name, because he's into fitness and eating well, should be Italian Ice.
Oh, that's good. Italian Ice. I've always said more ice names. That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Schnago is very disappointed that the fattest man in the world died, but he's very happy that his job is open and now he shall start drinking bacon milkshakes.
Send us more curd, cheese curd, by the way. Oh my gosh. He's still my favorite submitter of all time with cheese the foods. Curds. So good.
Over the Kit Kats, huh?
Yeah.
I guess he did the Kit Kats too.
Did he do both?
He did. All right. Schnago, he did all Kit the Kats Asian well. Kit Kats.
He was the giver that kept on giving. Yes. Anyway, continue
he
on.
Is. When you were talking about New Hampshire is lowest on the list for giving from discretionary income, ICU said that is probably why the state motto is live cheap or die.
Wow, I didn't realize.
Live free or die.
Yeah.
Oh, is it live free or die? A little more, but yeah.
Is it really? I didn't know. I thought that.
Yeah, live free or die.
Live free or die. Okay. All right.
He said it's live cheap or die.
Yeah, that's good. Right,
what else do we got here? I got a couple of other things written down that don't make a lot of sense. Things that the Utah is... worst at.
Oh.
Jeannie Wanasami, number one, in I got this off of Twitter, actually says that Utah is the worst at inconsistent pod fading. Way to go, Twitter.
I just can't seem to pod fade. What's wrong with me?
I don't know.
Weird.
When we were talking about Wikipedia being inaccurate, E. Kardashinsky says that 9 out of 10 Wikipedia articles keep your doctor from getting that yacht he's been wanting. Oh, sad.
Oh, that is sad.
And then we got discussing the little critters that have dropped into your wheel well or your window well. Have they gotten out yet?
You know what? Let's do a quick check. Hold on. Let's see.
Hang on there. Oh, you haven't helped them out. They didn't get out on their own.
He built a tiny ladder.
Last night while I was talking to Justin and doing a spoiler show for Godzilla and Days of Future Past, I watched him try to climb up and fall 3 times. So I think he may have gotten out because I don't see him now. And there's no holes or anything. So, yeah, I think he may have gotten out. That's good. Happy
for
him.
Buried under
this one regarding that, this one made me face palm, but it was hilarious. I see you said they're fighting for vole position. Get it?
Vole position.
Yep.
It's my favorite 80s racing game. It's fantastic.
Great video game.
Sure.
That's the one that had, you didn't use the joystick, you used the paddle that you turned back and forth like for Pong.
I don't remember. I remember loving anything that had a paddle and anything that had a ball.
Oh, Ice Worm.
Like Mutt Missile Command. And
yeah, Ice Worm, you want that?
No kidding.
Ice Worm's going to grab. Scott loves anything involving a paddle.
Or a ball, yeah.
Yeah, ooh.
Single ball, yeah. Anyway. Yes.
And the very last one is one of my favorites. Machu says, mice in my periphery, as Scott Johnson said, is my They Might Be Giants cover band.
That's really clever.
Well done, yes.
Wow. All right. Nice. That's it then.
That's all we got, kids.
Way to go, Cleo. It's always a pleasure. You having a good week? You doing all right?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
I'm doing all right. We will see you guys in about 5 weeks, eh?
Yeah. Physically, in person.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I'm going to bring my ID so I can get into the bars this time.
All right, good. Do that because I'll ID check you every time. You know that.
I know, right?
Bye now. All right. Kind of cut her off there. I was trying to. Yeah, it is live free or die. That's fine. I just thought that was a diehard thing. Huh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that's a state motto in the Hampshire. All right. So let's get out of here. Okay. I want to tell you that we will do a TMS PM, but we're not sure of the time. Keep track of our Twitter accounts and stuff. We'll let you know.
Sometime in the next 72 hours.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Tomorrow or Friday for sure.
Yeah. And or let's see, Friday. You mean tomorrow or Saturday?
Tomorrow or Saturday.
Yeah.
Figure out a good. I could do it from the hotel room, or we could figure out a good place for me to do it that's going to be somewhat quiet, but.
Some good still LTE could do, somewhere.
Exactly. You know, maybe I could do something cool, Vegas-y, while I'm doing the show.
Next week, remind me to tell you why I finally gave up my grip on my AT&T all-you-can-eat grandfathered in data plan.
I did it too.
Yeah. And probably for the same reasons I did.
Yeah.
We just wasn't using it.
Yeah.
that and we have family plans that would save us like $200 a month.
Exactly. Yes.
Bastards. That's how they got us.
Tell me.
That's how they got us. They got us because they made the other thing so cheap and the other thing so expensive. That's how they're doing it. They're squeezing people out. All right. Anyway, jerks. Let's get out of here. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. Support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/TMS. Even a buck a month helps us. Go check out what's available there and be a part of that whole thing. Would be wonderful. On Twitter, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson in Coverville. Brian will now give us a song of some kind because that's what he do.
Yes, this one's going out to George McKay. Says probably your only fan from the Highlands of Scotland.
Not true. We have a bunch.
No,
there.
We do have a few. Yeah. Hello, Slever and Blether. I'd like to request a song for Thursday, May 29th, for my lovely wife Tracy's birthday. She turns the ripe old age of 40 plus one on the 30th and has been a part of my life for longer than I can remember, approximately 18 years. She really is the core of this family, doing everything for our two kids and this older kid that she somehow managed to marry. True, at times she can be a pain in the arse, but she's my pain in the arse and I love her for everything she does. She definitely goes underappreciated in our home. So if you could tell her that me and the kids love her loads, appreciate all her hard work she does for the family, and we'd all be screwed without her. Love you, Tracy. She loves Chris Daughtry's voice, and if you have a cover by him, I'm sure that she'd be delighted. If not a cover of any Daughtry songs, except that horrible Westlife cover will suffice.
All right.
Don't poke a bro let me try this again. Don't poke a bro with a hoe, though.
Okay.
George McKay. from the Scottish Highlands. Well, you know, again, it's Brian Goes to Las Vegas Day. And so I guess there's this Elvis kind of theme running through the music in today's show. The Red Elvis is, of course, earlier in the show. Let's go ahead and do a cover of Elvis, this one by Daughtry. This was part of the 2008 Viva Las Vegas soundtrack. And is a song that was originally done by Mark James, but covered very famously by Elvis Presley, also covered very famously by the Fine Young Cannibals, who do a great version of it. It is Suspicious Minds, here by Daughtry.
All right. I like it.
That's it.
I'll play it. Safe trip today, man.
Thank you.
Be careful. Have some fun stories to tell about the airport. And
I'll Snapchat you some photos. How's
please,
that?
Please do, because I'll delete those immediately because I don't want to see your wiener. All right, here we go. It's not bad romance. It's Suspicious Minds. We'll be back soon for TMSPN and, of course, Monday for a regular show. Thank you guys for being here. Bye.
Going to try. Can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me? You don't believe the words I say. We can't go on together with suspicious minds. And we can't build our dreams with suspicious minds. If an old friend I know stops by to say hello, would I still see suspicion in your eyes? You go again, asking where I've been. Why can't you see the tears I cry? We can't go on together with suspicious minds. We can't build our dreams on suspicious minds.
Stop it. You know I didn't have anything to do with Berger taking the long nap.
Berger taking the long nap.
Dirt nap.